this evening. Next is number 12, landowner hunting permits briefing and public hearing. Sierra, if you could do a as you always do, a good presentation and do it briskly. And then Brock, you're warming up in the bullpen to do the same thing.
Sorry, I had to find the unmute button. I'm not as used to Zoom. Just want to make sure everybody can see landowner hunting permits PowerPoint, correct?
Yep, looks good.
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you. And yeah, I'm a relatively fast talker, so I'm gonna try to get through this as quickly as possible to make up a little bit of time here. So
thank you.
Okay, no problem. So yeah, my name is Sierra Strickland. I'm the Private Lands Access Program Manager. So I'm gonna go over the landowner hunting permit program, which, oops, let me see if I can, I guess I gotta use my mouse. There we go. Which is WAC 220-412-100. Quick outline, first slide policy overview or the commission policy overview. And then I'm gonna give a program overview, a little bit of history and background information. Then I'm gonna go over the proposed LHP properties and their locations and the associated recommended permit and season date changes, and also some recommended WAC language changes. Then followed by recommended adjustments, public comment, and then I'll take questions at the end. So this is an excerpt from policy C-6002, which is the specific commission policy that the landowner hunting permit program operates under. For the sake of time, I'm not gonna go through all of that since it's an excerpt and it does have the link up there for you guys available afterwards. Private lands access program and overview. So this the LHP program is just one of the opportunities under the broader private lands program. We also have sub-hunt programs, which are feel free to hunt, register to hunt, hunt by written permission, and then also hunt by reservation. And then recently, over the last couple of years, we've made some attempts to offer similar opportunities for both fishing and then other wildlife related recreation, including wildlife viewing. So those are those two little two signs down there in the bottom right corner are newer programs. History of the LHP program. So historically, it provided public access to larger private lands parcels that were otherwise inaccessible to the general public. It was also a new way to incentivize landowners. Conflict mitigation was a secondary benefit, as it still is. Historically, there's never been more than 7 properties in the LHP program statewide. Currently, we are proposing 5. The LHP portion of the commission policy was added in 2005. And then most recently in 2018, program staff requested from the commission to commence with a revision of the LHP program. So that revision was completed in late 2019, and the first application period under that revised program was completed in August of 2020. So the properties that are being proposed today are those successful applicants during that application period. So some additional background information. All potential LHP properties and landowners were required to reapply to the program following that previous revision that I discussed during 2018-2019. WDFW received a total of 6 applications, 5 of which are being proposed for admittance into the LHP program. So I'll discuss those properties and the applications coming up in the upcoming slides. Once approved, these 5 properties will be enrolled into the LHP program for the 2021 through 2023 hunting seasons. And then after the April commission meeting, the new contracts will be drafted, landowner signatures will be acquired, and then those documents will be finalized by WDFW staff. 2021 through 2023 will involve assessment and monitoring of the revisions that have been made that were completed in 2019. So further revisions and may be required as we continue to monitor the program's success moving forward. And then also just as an FYI, the copy of the final LHP standard operating procedure and the corresponding appendices, including the initial application packet, can be found at that link there on the PowerPoint. This is a quick map of the proposed LHP properties for the 2021 and 2023 seasons. Buck Run, Columbia Plateau, Black Rock, Silver Dollar, and then Centralia Mine. So these are the associated permit changes for those properties. Buck Run and Silver Dollar had no changes to permits or season dates. Black Rock Ranches, we are proposing to increase the landowner portion of the permits by 2, so to make it a total of 8 for the any elk category. There will be no changes to season dates. And then corresponding to that, we are proposing to increase the public portion of those permits by one to a total of two for the any oak category. And again, no changes to season dates for that category. CPWMA, no changes. And then Centralia Mine is a new LHP property. So the landowner portions or landowner permits receive five antlerless elk permits during September, available to be used during September 1st through December 31st. And then the public will receive five antlerless elk permits designated as senior only for the dates September 4th through the 12th, five antlerless elk permits, or excuse me, permits designated as disabled for September 18th through 26th, and then one any bull permit designated as youth only during October 2nd through 10th. And then all of those hunts will be granted on a single weekend during those hunt dates listed in coordination with the hunt coordinator at TransAlta. So this is where it gets a little wordy. So specific to WAC language changes, I wanted to point out that any of the WAC language changes that are proposed, if they're accepted by the commission, they will also be updated in the standard operating procedure. So the WAC changes will also reflect changes to the SOP as well. So this first one is pretty straightforward in the introductory language section. There were just some misstatements. So instead of hunter, it should have been hunting, and then some addition, some language there for clarity and correctness. So pretty simple. Under the acceptance guidelines section, 3 sub B, we are proposing to change the word will to may deny LHP applications. And the justification for this was depending on the total number of applications in certain circumstances, it is not definitive that WDFW will deny an application based on this. We may deny it, but it wasn't definitive. Acceptance guidelines section 3 sub B, at a minimum, the LHP property, and we're proposing to remove the word must and change it to should attempt to allow access for at least two types of recreational opportunity outside of the designated LHP permit seasons. The justification for this was under the previous verbiage, that would require some landowners to allow public access during prime agricultural harvest, and in some case, livestock or range seasons. So that poses a potential safety risk to the public if they allow access during those times. And then also during the most recent year and the new application process, we did determine that there are some specific land use or property restrictions that may prevent this from being possible. And again, under acceptance guidelines, section 3 sub E, in addition to the LHP hunts, no fee general public access opportunity, we're proposing to remove the word required and then replace it with strongly encouraged. And this is in relation to the general deer, elk, turkey, upland hunting, or other recreational opportunities. Again, similar justification would require the landowners to allow public access during potentially agricultural harvest seasons. And then also that poses the same potential safety risk to the public. Same again, land use property restrictions may prevent it. And then as with the previously mentioned one, I wanted to make sure that I pointed this out, that under the revised program, during the application process, landowners score higher when they allow this additional recreational opportunity. There is a point system on the application. So looking into the future, if the LHP program becomes more competitive, the only way that landowners are actually going to be able to rank high enough is to get these LHP permits is if they allow that additional recreational opportunity. So this provides an additional incentive for both the current and future LHP landowners to provide that additional public opportunity. Again, program guidelines, section 4 sub D, landowners may sell access associated with landowner or LHP permits, but then we're proposing to remove the word must and replace it with may be required to waive the right to claim claims for wildlife damage. The justification for this is it's changing to use of similar language throughout the remaining WAC and SOP, but then also to identify that there are situations that landowners do not sell their permits. So they are still entitled to potentially submit damage claims, but I want to emphasize that it is if they qualify under the damage program. Moving on, program guidelines, section 4 sub N, LHP permits. This is a relatively simple one, just changing the word mid-November to November. The timeline shift for that, so November is a more accurate statement. Again, program guidelines, section 4 sub R. Again, a simple one. We found an incorrect stated as harvest port reports. It should be annual report. So it's a simple one word change just to make it accurate. We did, as I mentioned earlier, we did receive 6 applications. Only 5 were approved. We denied the application submitted by Pine Mountain Ranch LHP, which was previously in the program before the revision. It was discovered that this LHP property had violated the standard operating procedure and the commission policy. So regional staff and program staff decided to deny their application. And then lastly, of course, the addition of the new LHP applicant in the corresponding descriptive language, which I didn't list out here, but was for Centralia Mine, and that was for clarity and consistency. And then quickly, recommended adjustments. So after the initial filing, it was discovered that the original name that was used for the new LHP property, we originally called it Hannaford, but it's now called Centralia Mine. It was in conflict with existing special permit hunts that were also named Hannaford. So this would have resulted in several hunts that had the same name, but they would have had different hunt locations. So to avoid the additional confusion, all references to Hannaford in the LHP WAC were changed to Centralia Mine. And then also under the Centralia Mine section in the WAC, after the initial filing, it was discovered that the public portion heading was improperly titled as landowner. So this was corrected to match the remaining WAC headers. Public comment. So there were a total of a little over 1,300 public responses for the LHP WAC. 56% generally, or 747 comments generally agreed. 31% or 411 were neutral, and 13% or 173 generally disagreed. I sent this PowerPoint in prior to yesterday. I did receive one written comment, which was in relation to the previously mentioned recommended adjustment, stating that the landowner portion was incorrectly named as landowner. It should have been public, so that has been addressed. And then a summary of responses included concern over the privatization of wildlife, support, general support for the opportunities for youth that the LHP program does provide, difficult to get landowners to return phone calls, and the waste of points if drawn for LHP opportunity, desire for more public hunting on private lands, some comments against the specific language changes, LHP program is abused and should be eliminated. There was also concern for landowners only allowing friends and family to hunt on their lands. And then the last one there, lots of comments regarding the payment of landowners, but I wanted to emphasize that the LHP properties and landowners are not paid by WDFW. Yes, and then there we go. Question. I'm happy to take any questions that anyone has.
Sierra, that was wonderful. Thank you for that professional and brisk presentation. Any hands up? I think you're off for the rest of the day, Sierra.
Perfect. Well, thank you. I appreciate
it. Well, thank you so much. Oh, excuse me. Jim Anderson has his hand up. I didn't see it.
Go ahead. Just when my brain clears up, sometime next week, I'd like to call you up and get some more information.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I do too, I think. Nikki, we have 2 people, do we?
Yeah, can I just state for the record that there's no public comment, just so we have that?
Yes, we can. And Vice Chair Baker has her hand up.
Sierra, I'm just wondering, on the one where we changed we allowed ourselves the discretion to approve a permit without the social benefit. Why are we making that change?
So give me 1 second. Let me get back to the specific. Do you remember which slide you were referring to? Hold on. I can scroll through just to make sure I answer your question appropriately.
Okay. No, I didn't note the slide. The one that we changed, there it is.
Oh, that one?
No, WDFW will, the one before that.
Oh, wait.
No. There. Acceptance guidelines. WDFW may deny an LHP that do not provide substantial public access beyond the allotted public permit opportunity. I just wondered what it was that caused us to decide that we need that kind of discretion when it sounds like a past commission decided that that increased public access was important.
Yeah, so I didn't mention it for the sake of time, but this particular one right here, the acceptance guidelines, or let me make it an actual, oh, nope, that is not what I wanted. Of course I did that wrong. Did I just do that again? I think I did, didn't I? Okay, hold on.
I'm feeling guilty for asking the question now.
No, I'm sorry. This is what happens when you have so many wordy things on there.
There it is. You've got it right there.
Yep. Okay. So this one right here, may deny LHP applications, and then the following two that changed it from a more strict word to a little bit more lenient was largely because of the, we found out that a lot of the landowners were having their livelihood or whatnot outside because they get to make these specialized seasons. That's the season that they've designated either for us to assist with conflict mitigation or just that's the time frame that they needed to have the access available. So we changed, that's all related to the substantial public access category or group in the standard operating procedure. So a lot of this change was kind of one of the first ones, and then an association with the next two that it made, what is the word I'm looking for? It gave it the same level, I guess, of importance as opposed to like, hold on, I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for here. So this change relates to this change and this change. So we made it, so it, by changing it back like this, because the landowners weren't able to allow some of those. So the prime example is Centralia Mine. Centralia Mine, so that third bullet there, the land use and property restrictions, are largely because if you go onto Centralia Mine, you have to have an escort. There's not any available opportunity outside of that that the public can just access without having that escort. So by stating that it's required or we will, or the more strict version, it didn't allow for some of these properties to really provide what we thought would be a great public benefit. So what we're doing is we revised it. And this is with regional input and landowner input as well. So a lot of this is from landowner input from the revision process. Was we're going to try to do it this way and see how well it works and see how much recreational. And like I said, this is this is the first 3 years that we're gonna have this revision process. So it is a learning, we're still learning on how this is gonna work. So we felt that this would be a more appropriate wording for landowners and the public. And I'm gonna stop there. Anise may have a better way of explaining that.
Yeah, even though we put softer language, there's still a scoring sheet that if they don't allow as much access and another landowner in the same area does, they basically went out and they get the permits instead of them. And so there is still a competitive process, but if they're the only game in town, so they can, in many cases, set the rules. We are still providing access through the permits. So that's still a benefit to the public.
Did that answer your question?
It made me think of a few follow-ups that I will hold for now, but thank you for trying hard. And thank you, Anise.
Commissioner Koontz, please.
I was just going to ask the same question, but what I was going to suggest is that, you know, maybe the language should be something like may on occasion or may rarely, just so that there's more clear emphasis that, you know, it's really a more of an unusual circumstance rather, you know, so that it's more clear to the public that's reading it, even the public that's reading it, that's not necessarily interested in the program, but interested in our decision-making processes.
No, those would work as well. So we can look into that as well.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Sierra. Have a nice weekend. Okay, we are now moving towards number 13. Brock, are you available to chat for a moment here?
Absolutely.
Over the next hour, approximately, do you think you can get through the three of these or two of these? I know there are some public comments. Nikki, I don't have that in front of me because I'm looking at another document. How many people do we have for 13, 14, and 15? And then we'll try and strategize, Brock.
We have 3 for 13, 6 for 14, and 2 for 15.
Your thoughts, Brock, on condensing your slides? We don't want to cut you short. That's not what I'm saying. Just
yep. So I think we have a window of opportunity. So a lot of my slides are about the current status of herds. In a lot of instances, those populations are doing well. They're not really tied directly to the recommendation. The commission has those documents available. They're also posted to the public. I think I can save us some time by skimming over those that I don't really think we need to cover the status update for one recommended adjustment that's minor.
Okay, having heard that and feel energized by it, we'll go to 13 after Vice Chair Baker's question.
Well, this is a question that could be easily misconstrued, but it's a question for actually maybe Joe Pinesco. If those 3, 6, and 3 or whomever is testifying, we really want to hear what they have to say. But my question is, can we hear, since these are similar changes that we're dealing with, can we hear Brock's presentations and then hear the public testimony on all three presentations, especially if there are overlapping people? Or do we need to take them one at a time?
Yeah, there is no strict requirement under the APA that you hit each of these items and then go to public comment on the item and then go back to the next item. You can do just what you propose and have all three items first with the hope that there is overlap and that it will save time and condense. I have no legal objections to that.
Well, in that case, again, stating that we're not trying to cut off public testimony, but instead of duplicating it, perhaps we could just, make sure that people have 3 or 4 minutes and say their piece at the end of Brock's presentations.
I would ask, not trying to put anyone off, but could we take the public comments at 8 a.m. tomorrow on these three items that Brock's going to proceed with?
My opinion is that would be a little bit more difficult on the public who have probably been sitting on the phone much of the day as we have.
Just a thought. I'm not objecting to either way. I just was asking the question.
Molly has her hand up.
Commissioner Linville. Commissioner McKaysey.
I agree with Commissioner Baker that these folks have been very, very patient and have been on the phone all day, and I do not want to put them off and waste their whole day. Not that listening to us is wasting a day, of course.
Okay. Commissioner McIsaac, if you don't object, I'm going to get Brock going here. Do you have any objection?
Oh, let's go ahead and try it. I just don't want to stifle.